And here's a quick little update. They get them from the state of Montana. I mean, a heavy influx of the roster here, at least at Montana State, is all Montana. I'd have to think that Montana, the University of Montana, is the same. Now splash that in with a lot of guys from California, a bunch of guys from Texas, and then a couple of other states represented in there as well, Colorado, Nevada. But apparently there's some pretty good football played here in the state.
We knew the two schools in the state played really good football, but now we know that it extends down to the high school level. And you said it. You look at the at their roster, it's dominated by really two states, Montana and Texas. And there is a lot of California talent here. So now you include arguably the state with the most talent in Texas, and then one that we didn't know but now do, has very sneaky talent right here in Montana.
And you know California's got a ton of talent out there, so you've kind of picked two of at least the top in California and Texas to do some recruiting. Monmouth, of course, very New Jersey-based with splashes of Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Virginia. And I think one of the things, as we're talking through the quarter break here, by the way, that you hope that maybe Monmouth does to get to that next level is being members of the Big South. They start to infiltrate spots in South Carolina, North Carolina, maybe get as far down as Florida, where there is a lot of Southern talent, and a lot of those guys will make the trek up north.
It's a very attractive school to sell to recruits. And you said it, now that Monmouth will be playing teams down there every year, the name just continues to get further south. So if you continue to get your Northeast talent, your New Jersey, your Maryland, your Pennsylvania talent, but then you can get little pockets of recruiting in those southern states, well, then you find yourself a niche in a few places, and then you develop pipelines. And Monmouth has one to Maryland. Obviously, the New Jersey one is natural. But it's like what Montana State did, just applied further east.
Looks things over. On third down and long, steps up in the pocket, avoids the rush, lets it go. Low throw, good catch, brother to brother. Jake Bleskin to Tanner Bleskin. And Tanner, the fifth-year senior, bails out little brother with a pretty solid catch.
Heard a big applause after that catch. You know the Bobcat faithful like that. Nice catch by the elder Bleskin as well.
Sets up a first down ball deeper in Monmouth territory at the Hawk 33-yard line. Trips off to the left. Here's the give up the middle for Newell again. Tackled 2 yards past the line of scrimmage by Tyler Thompson. Thompson seeing his first collegiate action. Part of a ton of linebackers that were brought in 2012, part of that recruiting class. Didn't play last year. And seeing a lot of time here tonight, along with classmates Tom Winters and John Sikowski. Second and 8. Fourth running back to carry. Big hole up the middle. It'll be a first down run for Gunnar Brekke. Brekke, a 5'11", 180-pound freshman. He'll get a first down. Another Montana resident. I asked the radio play-by-play voice of Montana State before the game, there's 5 guys listed within the 2-deep for running back. And he said that's by design, at least for tonight. You're going to see all the guys kind of fighting to be the third guy, with Kirk and Johnson established as the top two. Here's Brekke again up the middle. Stopped at the 16-yard line. The only guy we haven't seen yet is Brandon Davis. He's a redshirt sophomore transfer from Louisiana Tech. Thirteen minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Same man again. Brekke up the middle. Stopped at the line of scrimmage. It'll make it 3rd and 6.
You know, Matt, we can now, with Monmouth trailing 42-10, close the book for today on Denarius McGee. Remember that name, folks. He may win the Walter Payton Award as the Player of the Year in FCS football. 19 of 27, 240 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Ran 5 times for 54 yards and a score. You're going to look back at that game maybe in 7 or 8 weeks and say that was his probably lowest yardage output of the year, and all he did was really impress us.
Very impressive. Good player. Three wide into the game. Here's Bleskin looking over the middle. Almost intercepted by Brandon. Roderick, the intended target. Severance had a couple of pass breakups here tonight. We'll stop the clock with 12:23 and set up fourth down and six, and the field goal unit coming back on.
Really done a lot of their damage on the ground. Balanced effort, though. Now with Bleskin's numbers, they're up over 250 yards throwing the football, nearing that number on the ground as well.
Perez on for a 32-yard field goal. Low snap, handled well. The kick pushed off to the right. So Monmouth able to hold defensively here and keep the score where it is right now, 42-10, 12:19 to go in our fourth quarter. Hawks will play another night game next week against Liberty. Kickoff down in Virginia, set for 7 o'clock. We'll be on the air about 15 minutes prior. Our pregame shortened a little bit tonight because we were sharing the airwaves with our good friends, the Lakewood Blue Claws, who are winding down their season. They cut their broadcast short. We cut our pregame short a little bit.
You said it before. Early on, three of the first four games, night games for Monmouth. After that home opener against Lehigh on the 14th of September at 1 o'clock, we'll go up to Holy Cross for a 6 p.m. game up in, I want to hear you say where they're from. You going to give it the accent when you say it?
Which part? The state?
No, the town.
Huh. Worcester?
Or are you going to say?
Worcester?
Worcester. I might go, you know, we'll go up the night before, heavy on the Boston accent.
Yeah.
I'll buy in for that game.
You get in for that.
It's the four really good teams that Monmouth will open the season against.
And short of Lehigh, three new teams that Monmouth is seeing for the first time. Hawks will also play Columbia. Say everything basically a non-conference game this year as MU participating as an independent. Offense back on. Starter still in the game here for MU. McLafferty tight end right. Davenport and Richards splitting the field at wide receiver. Here's the give to Hayes trying to spin forward. He's taken down just shy of the 23-yard line. Second down and a long seven with 12 minutes remaining in our contest.
The Hawks operate without a huddle. Appear to go a little quicker now.
Richards and Sumlin off to the right. Davenport near sideline left. Hill wants Davenport. Went up top. Kind of hung him out to dry. Coverage there by Robert Marshall. Incomplete. Make it third and seven.
It's been a growing pain game, an adjustment game for Brandon Hill, his first game as the Monmouth quarterback, his first game of any kind in well over a year. He sat out all of last season.
Trips off to the right, single man back to the left. Hill reads it. He's got a man open. Sumlin will make the catch at the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. 78-yard touchdown strike. Hill to Sumlin, and Monmouth back on the scoreboard. Hawk offensive line did a great job of keeping the pressure off of Hill, and Sumlin basically ran right past his man.
Just as fast as we said, Hill struggles, throws an absolutely picture-perfect ball on the money to Eric Sumlin, who badly beat the corner. By far, best play of the game for the Hawks tonight.
Spillane on for the extra point. Fable the snapper. Vellis the holder. Kick is up, and that is good. So a little bit of life here for Monmouth in the fourth quarter. 42-17. With 11:31 to go in the fourth quarter, we're back in 30 seconds with more Hawk football on the Shore Sports Network. 78-yard touchdown pass from Brandon Hill to Eric Sumlin. Make it 42-17 in favor of Montana State. Hawks will kick it back off. We've seen the exit of Denarius McGee for his backup, Jake Bleskin, who what I imagine would get, if not most of the rest of the game, not all of the rest of the game.
And that last play, Matt, sent at least me into the record books trying to see when the last time the Hawks had a touchdown reception of that length. That Hill to Sumlin play covering 78 yards. And it was good recognition, too, by Hill. He saw that the safety was not in the middle of the field. Sumlin had the one-on-one coverage. And once he got around him, all he had to do was lay it out there, and he did it beautifully. So we've seen now the good and the bad. We've seen that pass. We've also seen the little screen pass that was intercepted and brought back for a touchdown the other way. And you kind of expect that. And I know something we're going to hear this week from Coach Callahan. Monmouth, always, and every football team, he believes, improves the most between weeks one and week two. I've spoken to the man for a lot of years, and he says that every time. And you know what? He's right. So we'll look for that next week when Monmouth takes the road to Liberty.
Scoring drive, three plays, 80 yards. Hill to Sumlin for 77. Took just 48 seconds off the clock as Lucas Santangelo coming on here to kick off. That play got Monmouth up over the 200-yard mark of total offense as well. Well, they'll have to make some improvements because as good as Montana State is tonight, expect a similar type team next week against Liberty, who gave FBS school Kent State all they could handle tonight. Santangelo drives this out of the back part of the end zone for a touchback, so it'll come out to the 25-yard line where it'll be first and 10 for MSU. It'll be Jake Bleskin again to come on. And I believe we're getting our look at that fifth running back tonight, Brandon Davis, the sophomore transfer from Louisiana Tech. He'll get the carry here off the left side. Pick up two. Make it second and eight. Tackle by O'Hara and Masick.
You said it earlier that, you know, Monmouth getting a look at a lot of players tonight, but Montana State doing much of the same. Interesting that they've got such a talented stable of running backs that this player who came in from Louisiana Tech, pretty powerful program, battling for that third spot.
Bleskin wanting to throw, almost intercepted, deflected up in the air by McDonough. Almost taken down by Carroll, but then a late flag coming in. This is going to be a penalty on Pat O'Hara. Roughing the passer is the call.
Can't give good teams the breaks, especially when you're trailing. Two for two? Wow. Someone's in midseason form tonight.
Three for three if you counted the paper I threw over there earlier. Out to the 42-yard line with that penalty. Gives Montana State some breathing room here with 10:51 to go in the fourth. Davis will get the carry. Coming near sideline here to the right. There is a flag that's been thrown. Davis bounces off a tackle and then corralled in at the 46 for a gain of four. Tackle made by Frank Foreman and by Nick Carroll. And it will be a holding call on Montana State, thrown about 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. So with the spot foul, turns out to be a penalty that marches things back to the 32-yard line. Make it first and 20. Clock running, 10 and a half to go.
Good news is, rumor has it, from West Long Branch, we sound great on the Radio Pup app.
Good to hear. Bleskett lets that one fly into no man's land. Well, I know you sound great.
Well, appreciate it.
A little worried this morning when you didn't have a voice, but you've rallied well.
I have found one in the last couple of hours. That news courtesy of the newest employee at the Monmouth Athletics Department, former MCX broadcaster, Gary, don't call me Dan Kowal. No relation between those two, just the same name. And let's complete the circle. Ray Malaspina back in the studio right now. Another MCX alum.
That's right. Second and 20 now for Montana State. Bleskin in trouble. Masick gives chase. O'Hara gives chase. Bleskin with a nice ball fake to grab a couple of extra yards down the far sideline and take it out to the 37. That'll go as a gain of 5. Set up third and 15. Much of the second team right now in for Montana State. Tanner Roderick at a wide receiver spot. Monmouth is rotating some other guys in as well. I think in a situation like this, if you're the defensive coaching staff, I think you can give everybody a crack tonight and see what they do. Bleskin, flare pass to the outside. Davis has it. Stutter move at the 40. Stacked up with a 45 and dropped. That'll be short of a first down. That holding penalty really comes back to hurt Montana State out to their own 45-yard line. Still seven shy of a first down, and they'll have to punt it away.
The Hawks should get it back now with a chance to further cut into this lead. 42-17 our score now.
Elijah Phillips will go back and stand at his own 11. Perez drives it high, not deep. Phillips fumbles it, picks it up at the 10, in trouble, and swarmed under. Maybe got back to the 10. Muffed it at about the 12, had to go back and get it. And then a bunch of blue jerseys able to get down the field, take them down to the 10-yard line where Monmouth has it with 8:55 to go in the fourth quarter. Bobcats up 42-17.
Their defense came onto the field, and we'll get that little bit of an extended timeout now, which means I get to ask Matt a question I've been waiting to ask him all night. How's been your Montana trip thus far? I know I've been with you for most of it.
Very good, I will say, and one has nothing to do with the other. The best part of the day, the best part of the trip was actually when I wasn't with you, which was today. Several of us went out to Yellowstone National Park, which was, in a word, amazing. Unbelievable scenery between the landscape, the animals we came across, things we saw. We timed it up perfectly to see Old Faithful go off, which was something pretty special. I'm able to check off a couple more states that I had never been to, Montana being one, and a good chunk, if not basically all of what you see of Yellowstone is located in Wyoming, which is about 90 minutes to the south of where we are here in Bozeman. Something that if you're, dare I say it, an American citizen, you should go and look at. Next time you're in Montana, Eddie, maybe you'll make the trip that way.
I was all in favor of that trip. It sounded great. Until I heard what time you guys were leaving this morning.
Yeah, and I was the last in the car, and I had to deal with daggers getting in, believe me. But I made it.
I'm looking forward to those pictures.
Offense back on here for the Hawks. It's been Hayes who's gotten the bulk of the work tonight at the tailback spot, and he'll get the carry here, trying to run Monmouth out of trouble, and does, with a nice gain off the left side. He'll pick up 13 out to the 23-yard line. Good blocking as well on the left side. Johnson and Patterson comboing on that. Here's LeVon Cheney checking into the game. First time tonight we've seen him offensively. He's been in there part of the return game. He and Hayes into the backfield at the same time. Three wide set, two off to the right. Davenport back to the left. Hill wants to throw. Here comes some pressure. Throws behind Davenport, who goes back and makes a great catch at the 50-yard line. Davenport tackled from the backside at the 39. I don't know how he caught it, but he did. And he will get Monmouth in business here. First and 10 from the Montana State 39-yard line.
I couldn't tell if it was intercepted or if it was caught. We'll get a look at the replay here. Hill back to pass. The ball was behind Davenport. Beautiful catch by Lamar, snatching it right from the Montana State defender. And now we've seen a couple of big plays in the passing game. Good to see what looks, Matt, to be Brandon Hill's confidence on the rise.
Yeah, able to shake off a rough first half. Here's Hayes on the carry up the middle. He'll pound his way forward for a gain of six to the 33, maybe a bit closer to the 32-yard line. And this is what you kind of wanted to see out of Monmouth. You know, I mean, I'm sure Montana State, they've taken the foot off the gas pedal a little bit, but even the second team guys that are in there, they need to play as well. You know, they want to stay on the depth chart, so to speak. But the Monmouth offense has looked better. Defense hasn't played poorly here in the second half. Try and come away with some positives. Not one here, as Hill had the snap go through his legs and has to go back and get it at the 43-yard line. That's a 9-yard loss. And it will put Monmouth in a third, what was second and three, now is third and 14.
So we've seen the good and the bad. You kind of get a little bit of both. With the long pass plays, with the nice completions, and then also with the idea that familiarity is going to be something that doesn't take 1 week. It doesn't take camp in 1 week.
Third and 14. Mama trying to extend this drive. Hill wants to throw. Dumps it over the middle. Nick Lafferty has it. Got a little room in front. Makes a nice move of the 35-yard line to get a couple extra yards. Pretty much got back to the original line of scrimmage before that last missed snap. It'll set up Monmouth with a fourth and three. And certainly the Hawks will go for it right now with nothing to lose. And see if they can get a first down and keep the offense on the field. Tight trips package off to the right side. Sumlin, McLafferty, and Richards. Blitz coming. Hawks pick it up. Phillips will make the catch on the left side. He was the lone receiver there. At the 17-yard line, that will be a first down for Monmouth in front of Brad Nordahl, the corner.
Nice back shoulder throw. It was the toughest pass to defend in football. If the defender's shading, you go. If not, you fade. And that time, beautiful throw by Brandon Hill. I like, Matt, what we've seen from him in the second half. Shook off that bad first half. He's looked very good here in the second half.
Fable in at the tight end spot. Hill wants to throw again. Has Phillips over the middle. Will spin forward. Get into the end zone for a touchdown. 17-yard touchdown from Brandon Hill to Elijah Phillips, who scores on the offensive side. He's been a defender for Monmouth the last couple years. Makes the switch as the fifth-year senior and punches one in. Hawks with some promise. Might not affect the overall outcome, but certainly making MU look a whole lot better on the scoreboard, a point away from being down 42-24.
And, Matt, I would make the argument more so than that, making them feel better about themselves a little bit, knowing inside we can score, we can get up and down the field, and Spillane kicking for 24.
Chips it up, and that is good. That is exactly where we are. Same numbers, just reverse for both teams, 42-24 in favor of Montana State. Good second half, though, going for Monmouth. We step out with 5:39 to go. 30-second timeout. We're back with more on the Shore Sports Network. 5:39 to play here in the fourth quarter, 42-24. I'll tell you what, I wish I bought a 50-50 ticket tonight. They just put up the winnings. We knew it was a record crowd. How about over 10 grand to the winner tonight?
That's unbelievable.
I was going to say, that would be awesome.
That would be tremendous.
How was your trip? Well, you know, there was good and bad, but I did come home with 10 grand out of the 50-50.
I'll tell you what, if I win that, we stay tonight. hang out.
You can buy a piece of Yellowstone.
In the private jet home tomorrow. That's a, wow, that's a number. Look at that. They flashed it up again. That might be the most impressive stat of the evening.
42-24 the score for Monmouth, who has scored three touchdowns here in this second half. That last one, a seven-play, 90-yard drive. Brandon Hill to Elijah Phillips from 17 yards out. Took up 3:16 in the clock. If you want some positives, I'll give you one. Monmouth has outscored Montana State here in the second half, 21-3. Big kick from Santangelo again. This one about 20 yards out of the back of the end zone.
I'll give you another positive if I can find a halftime score sheet. Because Brandon Hill in the second half has been much better, Matt, than in the first half. Throwing a couple of touchdowns. His numbers right now, you look at him, they don't look that bad. 18-31, 240 yards. Actually threw for the same amount of yards as McGee did. Two touchdowns, two picks. Now, a lot of that was in the first half. But at least there's positive momentum building forward.
And the two interceptions definitely hurt. One of them was brought back for a score as here on first down. Handoff is given off to Chad Newell, who will gain two out to the 27, make it second and eight. Midnight back at home, 10 p.m. here in the Mountain Time Zone. We're 2 hours behind, of course, all of you listening back on the East Coast. Five-man front for Monmouth on second and eight. Exactly five to go, and now running in the fourth quarter. 42-24. Here's the give to Newell again, stretching it out off the right side. Newell, the ball carrier. Coe and Onakuzi combine on the tackle. That's a 5-yard pickup. Make it third and three now for Montana State.
The MVP of the game might have to go to our guy Ray, who's currently engineering it just past midnight in New Jersey.
That's why he gets paid the big bucks.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love those. Is this our only out of time zone game this year, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
I'm sure Ray just did the double check and the whoo.
Yeah, exactly. Inside carry again for Newell, trying to ground towards a first down. He'll have it. Punches it out over the 35-yard line. Just enough for the first down. With 4:03 to go, they'll stop the clock for a second and move the chains. This is the only time Monmouth has played out of a time zone. Furthest west that the Hawks had been prior to today, Ohio.
That's right, talking to, there is a Montana State player down. One of the linemen looks at like it's number 72, Charles Lee. But talking to Dan Davies, who's the senior associate AD here at Montana State, actually does their radio broadcast. I even forgot that point. He said it to us. He goes, you guys have never been west of Ohio, huh? So we not only got west of Ohio, we really went west.
Working on Lee, who will get up and walk off mostly under his own power with a little bit of help from the Montana State training staff.
You have to think, Matt, this will start a trend as Monmouth continues the ascension in the world of FCS football. And there's so many teams around us, but you're talking to Dan even after that. He said there's a lot of teams out here. The Big Sky could become a regular league that Monmouth plays, these big kind of early season games.
And you've got to experience different parts, different, you know, areas of the country. And I don't mean from a sightseeing standpoint. I mean from how they play football in different areas. This game forged because of a relationship that the two head coaches had working on some different committees, and that's usually how things start, and then it opens the door to other ones. First and 10. Here's the give. It'll go to Connor Brecky, who's got some good yardage off the right side. He'll pick up 9.5, maybe 10. Brecky, good-looking freshman from here in Montana. It is a first down.
It's okay if we can use the sightseeing aspect of it, though, right? I mean, I know I didn't take full advantage today, but next time, I promise.
Yeah, but, you know, I think the point is that someone's going to look on the Montana State schedule and say, oh, so Monmouth will come this far.
Right.
And then, hey, why don't you come play us in a year coming up? First and 10, Brecky again up the middle. Tackle made 2 yards over the line of scrimmage by Corey Neal. As someone said, in order to play these big games, in order to get in the game of playing big games, you have to start somewhere. And tonight for Monmouth, a start in that direction of playing the number 2 team in FCS football in Montana State.
Yeah, that's the other point. It's not just as though Monmouth's playing a good team. They're not playing a solid team. This is a team who has aspirations to win the national title. And, Matt, they think, and after seeing them, I kind of do too, they're going to go into Dallas next week and give SMU all they can handle.
Brecky again will get the call on second down. Hit just over the line of scrimmage, driven back. Brecky on the... A tackle made by Onakuzi, who was involved, and Ryan Zuchek.
Gary Onakuzi with us up.
2 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. Montana State up on Monmouth 42-24.
Good showing for the Hawks here in the second half, however, as obviously they're not on the side of the scoreboard they want to be on, but acquitted themselves well in the second half.
Six-man front here defensively for MU. Another give. Bouncing it to the outside again. It's Newell. He'll have a first down. And we'll take it to the Monmouth 41-yard line. That's an 8-yard pickup. Winds have started to gust here a little bit. It's been calm for much of the game, but now a solid breeze moving from the end zone to our left across the field to the end zone to our right. Temperature still very comfortable. Now with that first down, Montana State will take a knee once, maybe have to do it a time or two more, with Bleskin content to run out the clock. And Montana State will start their drive to another playoff berth and perhaps another big season with a win here, unfortunately, over Monmouth, 42-24. That will be our final score. Hawks will set their sights on Liberty next week. Another knee taken. That will do it. And won't have to come up under center again. A solid second half performance for the Hawks in this one. But too much to overcome in half number one. Too many big plays for Montana State. Too many errors for the Hawks. The story in the first 30 minutes, but the last 30, well played. Hawks will have to take that, obviously, and look to build on it next week, in a big matchup with Liberty before returning home to open things up with Lehigh. We'll step out here. Let's take a two-minute timeout. We'll come back and start our post-game show. Stats, scores, analysis, thoughts, and more all coming up on the Shore Sports Network. Week one now in the books for the Monmouth University football team in 2013, playing this season as an independent. Tough opening night as they are defeated by the number 2 team in the country, the Bobcats of Montana State. Final score here tonight, 42-24. MSU jumped out to a big first half lead. Led comfortably. Monmouth, though, with a good showing in the second half, outscoring the Bobcats 21-3 here in the second part of this contest. Eddie, some good things that I thought we saw in the second half. Certainly Brandon Hill kind of settling down a little bit and getting into the flow of the offense after, I'm sure, what he would tell you was not a good first half performance.
Yeah, I would agree, Matt. After that first 30 minutes of football, I know we had some uneasy feelings about, obviously, what was going on, but Brandon came out in the second half. He was much better. He looked more confident in the pocket. I think a big factor, the offensive line gave him a little more time to throw the football, and his receivers made some plays. Nice catch by Lamar Davenport. Obviously, the big touchdown by Eric Sumlin. And when you look at it by the end of the game, and we're waiting on our final game statistics, he didn't have a bad game. He had a bad first half, and I think he rebounded from that nicely and led Mama to some scoring drives, which made this game look, I think, a little closer than people would have thought.
Yep, 42-24 the final score. He also saw the defense kind of at least play better in the second half as well, which was kind of the theme of the night, I guess, was the second half becoming better than the first. After giving up 39 points in the first half, Montana State only able to put up 3 points in the second half.
The defense did a better job, I think, Matt, of tackling. In the first half, a lot of arm tackles, a lot of second chances that they weren't able to convert. And then we saw it, Montana State pulled their starters, but nevertheless, you said it too. They were still playing with guys that are going to contribute on their team all season long, and Monmouth did a better job of tackling. I liked what I saw out of some of the younger players defensively, and I think now every game that you go on, and we said it earlier, you'll make your most improvement between now and Liberty. The Monmouth coaches can look on tape and see, okay, who were some of these defensive players that made an impact in the second half that we think we can have make not only an impact, Matt, but make game-changing kind of plays. We saw a couple guys on Montana State, the nose tackle specifically, make some real game-changing plays, and that's what you need when you go up and play against better teams. Someone like a Tevron Brandon, like an Onakuzi, like some other guys, McDonough had a good second half, that can go out and make a game-changing play.
Yeah, that's how you start to make that next jump and start to win some of these football games, is you are the team that's making big plays and not having to trail from behind, which certainly makes things pretty tough and pretty difficult. As we await final stats, we'll run through a couple of scores of note for you. There's just two games on the top 25 schedule on opening night Thursday here in college football. Number 6, South Carolina, knocks off North Carolina 27-10, and Hawaii is hosting number 24 USC, and right now Hawaii with a 5-3 advantage. Kind of the strange score, but 5-3 the advantage there. We gave you a couple of scores of Monmouth opponents that we'll see. One next week, Liberty with a valiant effort against FBS school Kent State, losing, however, 17-10. Robert Morris was roughed up on the road at Eastern Kentucky. We'll step out here. Let's take a 3-minute timeout. We'll come back with stats, final thoughts, and wrap things up here from Bozeman, Montana, as the Bobcats win it 42-24. Over MU. We're back after this commercial break on the Shore Sports Network. 42-14, our final score. 42-24, excuse me, our final score here tonight as the fans filtering out the last batch of them as the band still plays on here at Montana State University. Hawks led on this night by Julian Hayes, 22 carries for 135 yards and one touchdown. He will be our player of the game, presented by McClune's Restaurant. Now time to pick up, well, we already did that, didn't we? I guess I should have read that before. Visit McClunes.com for information on all of their great locations. Our player of the game presented by McClunes Restaurant, some of the best around the Jersey Shore area. Hayes, a bright spot tonight, Eddie, 22 carries for 135 yards. Ran hard all night long, had that long run of 40 yards, but averaged over 6 yards per carry and did have the first Monmouth touchdown of the season.
Yeah, Matt, did a lot of his damage in the first half, but ran hard all game. And I think it bodes well that Julian gained 135 yards against a team that last season only gave up on the ground, on average, 106 yards per game. They did lose some starters from that unit, but nevertheless, under Coach Ash, this defense has been very, very strong, so positive sign for the Hawks.
Brandon Hill, 18 of 31 for 240 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, was sacked twice as well, and your theme going into break was how much better he got in the second half than he did play in the first.
Just looked more confident, made more definite reads where he wanted to go with the football, had the 78-yard touchdown pass to Sumlin. Obviously a positive there. Move the ball better after halftime and just look to be more confident and in control after the break.
Lamar Davenport led all receivers tonight, four catches for 67 yards, three catches apiece for Sumlin McLafferty and Elijah Phillips. Neil Sterling also had three catches tonight as well. The total offense tonight for Monmouth, 15 first downs, 58 plays for 355 yards. The run-pass split, 115 on the ground, 240 in the air. MU, 2 of 10 on third down. That's going to have to get a little bit better. Four penalties tonight for 36 yards. For Montana State, we saw the display of maybe one of the best players in the nation, quarterback Denarius McGee, who was 19 of 27 tonight for 240 yards. Did not throw a touchdown pass, but led a very balanced attack. He got involved on the ground, scored a touchdown, five carries for him, 57 yards.
Yeah, the Montana State offense, 561 total yards. They get 293 of them on the ground. They're a balanced team, and they'll show you, like they did tonight, that as much as McGee is the keys that make their engine go, he is also not alone. They've got a lot of talented running backs. They've got a lot of good receivers. And he only accounted for 294 yards. But that means that a lot of guys helped there because, like I said, they almost gained 600 in the game.
Sean Johnson, a big part of that. He had a long 90-yard touchdown run. Five carries tonight for him for 109. Chad Newell, 8 for 41. Cody Kirk, 11 for 39. On the receiving side, Tanner Bleskin picked up right where he left off a season ago. Seven catches for 121 yards. Eddie gave you the total numbers offensively tonight for Montana State. A very complete team, a team with high expectations. Number two in the country. They didn't do anything to perhaps hurt their ranking in the first week of the season here tonight against Monmouth. But as we said, the Hawks will have to take this one, build on it, and push forward for a tough week two matchup as we look at our upcoming game presented by Coach USA. That will be at Liberty next Saturday night.
And you've said it throughout the broadcast. That's a Flames team that this week gave Kent State, who last season won 11 games and was in the mix for a BCS bowl, all they could handle in ultimately losing that game 17-10. This Liberty team is good. They're ready to make the jump from FCS to FBS. I would say as well, if not more than anyone else, at this level of football. Matt, the atmosphere will be similar to what we saw tonight, another night game, and the Hawks will have to take this effort, build on it, because it's not as though you get a cupcake week two to get ready for a tough week three. The hits just keep on coming with that very, very difficult non-league all year, I guess, but that very difficult schedule that Coach Callahan has presented them with this season.
That's a quick peek at our upcoming game presented by Coach USA. Coach USA, driven with pride. We'll break this game down in great detail coming up on Tuesday night, the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. We do it live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. Myself, Coach, and several guests will stop by. We do it from 7 to 8 o'clock on the stations you're listening to right now, 1160, 1310, WOBM AM, SureSportsNetwork.com as well. Our thanks tonight to our buddy Ray Malaspina, putting in a long night of work past midnight on the East Coast. Good job out of him. Week one in the books for us here from Bozeman, Montana. Hawks lose it, Eddie, a tough one, 42-24. I'll talk to you next week, my friend. We'll be down in Virginia. We saw 21,000 here tonight, a record crowd. I think they get about 25,000 down at Liberty. So, as you said, similar type atmosphere next weekend.
Absolutely, partner. Things won't change. They'll just keep on building in this season, which is, I would say, the most interesting in the 21 years that we've had here. We'll continue, and I'll see you Tuesday night at Jack's as well.
Tough schedule. Stick with us. Monmouth will do nothing but build off of this one and get better coming up week number two. Again, the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on Tuesday night. Next weekend, back on the road for week two against the Flames of Liberty. For Ray Malaspina, Eddie Iacopinti, Matt Harmon saying so long from Bozeman, Montana, on the campus of Montana State. The Bobcats win it tonight, 42-24. You've been listening to Monmouth Hawk Football on the Shore Sports Network.